Hello, 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 and welcome back to another episode of the 343 Podcast. My name is John Pronich, and I am your host. What we have for you today is the audio from the opening presentation that was given by Gary Kleiben at the 343 Summit, which took place in July of 2015 at the Palms Casino and Resort in Las Vegas, Nevada. Gary's presentation focused on vision, having a vision, having vision, and understanding the difference between the two. So this, what you are about to hear, is just the audio. Please note that Gary references a few videos, pictures, and posters that are in the room at the time. So you obviously won't have those aids available to you during your listening, but it is still well worth the listen. And we hope that you enjoy this special episode of the 343 Podcast.
Thank you. I want to start out really quick with a brief little story. So maybe around 6 months ago, January, February timeframe, somebody from up north in Oregon got on a plane, flew all the way down to LA, Orange County, to watch our teams play, okay, the 14s, the 16s, and the 18s, because Portland, their academy was coming down south, and they were going to compete against us, and also to link up with us, okay? So that was one gentleman. Another gentleman who drove 5, 6, 7 hours from up north as well, made that trek down south. They both linked up, okay? They linked up with us. I got invited to go to a restaurant with them, you know, talk a little shop. And then 5 hours of my ass seated in a booth later, the idea for this came up, okay? The idea for this came up, and I said, fantastic. I think it's a great idea. We need to convene, get everybody on the same page, you know, get the networking rolling, you know, accelerate the educated process. And pretty much I said, fantastic, go do it. I'll put my weight behind it, but go do it. That one person who did all the work to organize and make this a reality is John Pranich. Okay, round of applause for John. Thank you, John. And the other gentleman who flew all the way down was Chris Kramer as well. So that shows some dedication, okay? And that's what it takes. Go crazy, dedicated, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. So that's why we're here, okay? The network matters, and thank you guys. Okay, let's get to it. Finally, I'll stop the whole BS on from that perspective. All right, I wanna talk to you guys about something that I think is problem number one, and a lot of us already fail. And a lot of us can always get a lot better at this. And that problem, that topic is vision, okay? We need to have vision. And I wish my clicker worked, okay. And that doesn't work either.
Are you guys gonna make the slides
available afterwards? We're gonna try and see what we can do there. Why is my clicker, oh, thank you. Okay. So vision, we need to have a vision, right? How we want to play, for example, and then we actually have to have vision while the games are actually happening or while we're watching games on TV or while we're on the sidelines. So we need to develop this skill, because if you don't have these things, then what the heck are you guys doing in the training sessions, right, without having some end goal in mind? Fantastic. Well, first thing, there's general vision. So a lot of people have general vision, meaning I want to play like these guys. How many coaches out there in the world say, we play possession soccer? Right? I model my thing after Barcelona. I have a vision. That's not really a vision. That's very simple. That's very general. Or let's go a little further. I want to play like Barca, right? I want to counterattack like Real Madrid, and I want to press like Chile. Is that a vision? Maybe a starting point to a vision. Okay, you have some sort of nebulous concept in your brain, but you have to break that thing down further. This general vision isn't good enough. General vision is for spectators. Go to a stadium, here I am with Hans. Hopefully you guys chatted a little bit last night. And what happens here is 95,000 people are watching the person with the ball and completely ignoring everybody else, all the other 20 players on the field. So we need to focus on things that aren't exclusively on the ball. I'm gonna show you and start off with a really quick video here that ultimately I'm gonna wanna try and make a point of.
Tira la partida.
So what did we see, right? Do we have vision? Do we understand what's going on? If we have somebody, a non-coach, sit here, right? Maybe a parent. I know you guys, a lot of you guys are parents, right? But you guys have also had a lot of experience with parents, and they think they have vision, right? They're watching this stuff, and what is it that they're going to report? Yeah, the red team had possession. They had all the ball, right? The white team didn't have much, and the white team just kicked it out at the end. Is that vision? That's not vision, as you guys all know, right? We can dive a lot deeper. We have to dive a lot deeper to understand what actually went down here and if it was orchestrated or if it was all just a big accident, right, that the red team had the ball. So let's go further. Beyond general vision, okay? So we need to explore how Barcelona keeps the ball, how Real Madrid counterattacks, how Chile actually presses. We need to zoom in and look at the structures that are being employed there. So instead of ball watching, right, you're looking at all the players on the field. Here's some structures for you, right? We want to possess and we want to press. That's how I want our teams to play. I imagine that's how you guys want your teams to play. So we need to look at the structures that build up possession and pressure. So the first structure, right, are these rondos, these numbers up game. So three players in possession, four players in possession, depending which one you're looking at, and one defender. You set this thing up, you know, 7-8 yards apart, and you have a little possession-based game, and the defender in the middle pressing. So that's a structure. Fantastic. It develops a lot of fundamental skills, right? A lot of fast thinking. Brian is going to dive a lot deeper into this actual exercise. Another structure, building out of the back, okay? Very simple. Here's our keeper. Center back, outside back, and there's our holding mid. You see this structure there, and we're going to revisit it, right, in our clips. Here's another structure. Losing your man, right? You need to make some space for yourself when you're going to receive the ball. We train this. And attacking patterns. It's not just some individual saying, oh, I get the ball. What am I going to do with it? I guess I'll dribble. I guess I'll pass here. I guess I'll go backwards. All of this stuff needs to be trained on the pitch, and then attempted to execute it on the field. So here's, right, one example. Here's our outside back, center back, center back. Outside back gets the ball. He's going to feed our winger. When he feeds the winger, he makes an overlapping run. Winger gives him the ball back. And obviously, these are a little bit more complicated that we'll dive into a little bit deeper. But these are all patterns of play that we train, and then you have to attempt to execute on the field. And pressing. We just don't say pressure the ball, right? We have to, on the training pitch, once again, instruct every single player precisely how we're going to press in unison as one block. So there's some structures, right, that lead us to ultimately having a vision of play. So I'm going to run this clip now, and you notice I put this particular structure down here, and then we're going to see it in the real world. Right, keeper gets the ball, and we have those back five perfectly situated. Okay, one more time, it's on a loop here. Keeper gets the ball, right, outside back, spread to the outside of the 18, or these are the outside backs, these are my center backs, play to the center back. How do these guys react? That's all choreographed. This association here is a structure. This association here is a structure. It's no accident. Okay, we train the players. One last time, because I'm going to point another structure on losing your man. Dish it out. Let's pay attention to this guy. He looks upfield, and our winger is already losing his man, trying to make this pattern. That's vision, right? So once you're actually witnessing a game or witnessing your team on the sidelines, are we executing our vision or not? Let's revisit the clip that I first showed you and see what actually happened. Four v one rondo. A winger losing his man. We're going to go into an attacking pattern here. Make this connection, this association. Switch to the point of attack. They're in big trouble. 3v1. But it didn't work. No problem. what's going to happen? We're going to go into working our back five. Working the back five, working the back five. None of this is an accident. Switch play. Our winger is going to now lose his man, and they're going to attempt to do an attacking pattern or a different attacking pattern. He's going to play our center forward. This is rehearsed again, just like our little structure here. He's supposed to dish it to my offensive mid, right? It didn't work out. No problem, didn't work out. They decided to say, let's reset it. He could go all the way back to the back five, but he opts not to. And we lost it. When we lose it, what do? It's all choreographed. Immediate reactions, all three of the front guys start pressing, okay? Like our block structure over here. So vision, right? From the first time we showed you this clip, oh, they're just possessing the ball, right? They lost it at the end, the keeper kicks it out of bounds. No, this happened first, then this happened, then this happened, then this happened, then this happened. Very specific, okay? And then finally, having vision. So that's a vision of play. We want to possess and we want to press. What are the structures to accomplish that vision? Now, actually having vision. If you're not coaching, you're at the game, what are we watching? Do we want to watch just the ball? Obviously not. You guys know all of this stuff. As the center backs have the ball, what's this guy doing? Backpedaling, making open space. Backpedaling, making open space. How does Barca's structure, what is Barca's structure? We have to deconstruct it, okay? And once you deconstruct it, then maybe you can take it back to your home field, your own team, and say, okay, I saw this structure that Barca executed. I'm going to try and choreograph that into my team as well. Make sense? Same thing with Real Madrid counterattacking. It's not an accident. It's not some long ball and then it's an avalanche, right? The whole avalanche, the whole tidal wave of the counterattack is choreographed based on specific triggers that happen in the game. That stuff is rehearsed on the field, on the training grounds, right? Same thing with Chile. Oh, yeah. Easier said than done, right? When you're watching this, comfort your own home or in the stadium, and then when you're on the sidelines with all the emotions running high, the whole chaos, parents yapping away, screaming, the kids complaining, whatever, you get scored on, the ref makes a bad call, do you have vision on the sidelines to actually communicate with your players properly and give them meaningful instruction while the game's going on, and then maybe at halftime? What do you tell your players at halftime? Do you just make stuff up and BS them? Do you think on the fly, oh, shit, okay, what am I going to tell these guys? Work hard, we're doing good, you know, we just need one goal to get back into this game. Not very meaningful. But if you have the structures in place that you rehearsed during training, you can say, hey, listen, Bobby, you're the left back. What are your responsibilities when our center back or our keeper has it? You're not doing it. You're supposed to be backpedaling to the sideline, right, to make space for yourself, to expand and make room, create space. You're not doing it. We need to see it in the second half. Make sense? So all of that is dictated by how much vision you guys actually have while the game is actually happening, right? So we have to develop that. We have to get better and better and better. And it's hard when you just have one person, two sets of eyes. If you have an assistant coach, even better. If you have two assistants, even better. If you take notes on the sidelines, that's something I recommend doing while the game is actually happening. Don't get as emotionally attached. Start making notes, right? Hey, our center forward is just standing there. He's not going into our attacking pattern when our outside back gets the ball. Make sense? Then you go into halftime, you actually have something meaningful to talk about. All of it's dictated having vision. So again, if let's say we're coaching over here, our left back has the ball, you have rehearsed. How are these guys supposed to be behaving when he has it? And then if you're on the sideline, you say, hey, Bobby, where should you be if the right back has the ball? Oh, I should be pinched in. And you start communicating to the players that are off the ball, right, instead of ball watching. All make sense? So vision, number one, the foundation to everything. If you don't have a vision, you're screwed. What the heck are you doing on the training grounds? And if you don't have vision, then you can't communicate with your players properly. Cool? Make sense? Beautiful. Starts and ends with vision. Once you have this, then we can build, and then what Brian's going to present is going to make a lot more sense. Yeah? That's what I had for you guys today. I didn't want to take up too much time. I wanted to hand it off to the day-to-day practitioners, the guy who are on the ground level, on the daily grind, yes, training day in and day out, so they can zoom into more of the details of what I just showed you. All good? Since it's a small conference, right, 35 of you, 36 of you, feel free to ask some questions during the presentation. Say, hey, can we revisit this point? Can you pause the video? Can we rewind it really quick? Because it's small, we can adjust. It doesn't have to be formal. It doesn't have to be scripted. All right, so feel free to raise your hand and interject whenever you guys want. Good? All right, I'm going to hand it off to Brian. We'll just give you 2-3 minutes, maybe stand up, because I have to give him the mic. Wish we had 2 mics. All righty.
Thank you all for listening to another episode of the 343 podcast. I hope you enjoyed Gary's presentation from the summit that took place at the Palms Casino and Resort in Las Vegas, Nevada. Just so you guys know, this is a little hint, we will be making a return to the desert this summer. You can stay up to date by joining the mailing list that is available on 343coaching.fm. Find out more information about the coaching membership, conferences, camps, everything you need from the 343 world. You can visit 343coaching.fm. That's the number 3, the number 4, the number 3, coaching.fm. All right, until next time, folks, see ya. Have a good one.